All right, we are here. And the beautiful crystal we hold here, showing different veils and different levels. Lifting, can lift something from the lower levels to the higher levels, just an ascension. All right, so now we'd like to hear from you. You've written down some of what you would like to do, some of your gifts, talents, and your strengths, your passions. And let's hear from you what you imagine you might be able to do for channels of money. But first, there's a dear one.
This morning, I have to ride the bus, so I needed the $1 bill. So I was not very discriminating. I was in a hurry, so I used that dollar bill I got it yesterday. So I couldn't believe it what I did. So
all right. Need. All right. So that was the reason why we suggested that you treat it as real money and not put it with your other money. And but what this is doing, this is a feedback for you, dear one.
Yes.
Is a feedback that even though we suggested treat it as real money.
Yes.
And put it away from your other money.
Yes.
You didn't stay present.
Right.
And so you need to look at mm-hmm. your issue about not being present.
Yes.
All right? Because when you're not present, then you're driven by fear mm-hmm. and urgency. And whatever takes your attention, whatever's there takes your attention and drives your attention. And so your attention is out of you all the time. It's out there, and you're not in your power.
Yes.
So what do you feel about it? Do you feel bad about it? Because in a sense, you feel yes. like you let yourself down a bit, didn't you?
Yes.
Right. So how much money had you decided that it was?
$1 million.
$1 million, all right. And what were you... looking to do with it? What would you do? What would you do with it?
I felt like that though. If I have $1 million, I don't have to think about.
You don't have to what?
Think about the money.
All right. Well, look at what happened. You don't even have to have $1 million, and you can stop thinking about money.
Right.
You stopped thinking about money this morning.
Right.
In a sense, you taught yourself that your thinking about money has all been negative.
Yes.
It's all been fear-based.
Yes.
All right. So basically, what you really want to do is to think about money. It's a little bit of a different approach, but this time you think about money in a positive way. You think about money as this energy,
mm-hmm.
this energy that you can play with, that you can exchange with, that you can flow with, that you mm-hmm. can allow in, that you can think about money differently now.
Yes.
So you would, like, I don't want to think about money because money is difficult to think about, right? That was what it was.
Yes.
Money's hard to think about, and when I think about money, I feel bad. I feel like I don't have enough. I get into all this fear, and I get into judgments or guilt or whatever, and so on. I don't want to think about money. So here, have $1 million. Doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to think about it. Right.
Yes.
So thank you for your sharing. This is something that all of you be aware of, you know? Is that take care with your money. Not that it has to be something you fuss over, worry about, agitate about.
Mm.
It's not something to fret about. It's not something to get all bent out of shape about. That's the way that you got trained into thinking about money. That's the way that the consensus culture thinks about mm-hmm. money. That's the way the majority of people out there do. But you're going to set a new precedent. You're going to think about money in a totally new way. When money is your friend, mm-hmm. money is your energizer, and money is a divine energy flow, just another vibration, no better or worse than a tree or a flower or a car or a notepad and a pen. Money is just another frequency, but is one that you want to invite into your life. Thank you, dear one, for that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Just make sure that you forgive yourself about it and resolve that you're going to think differently about money and stay present. Stay present with your money. Stay connected to it. Then you'll have more of it. All right.
Yes.
Anyone else that wants to talk about their gifts, talents, strengths, channels, money channels? What they want to do? Yes.
About 10 years ago, I stopped working and started going to school. And my partner, now husband, supported me financially in our household. And it morphed. I went through school, and then it morphed into caretaking his father, which has ended about 2 years ago. Almost, not quite that much, but in the meantime, I have not started working again. And I sense I'm in the flow because my life certainly is beautiful, and but I'm not necessarily feeling very good about myself because I'm not bringing the flow in myself. So when I talk about my strengths and my talents, I haven't got a lot of juice for many, many years through that avenue. So
mm-hmm.
that's what I wanted to talk about.
All right. So of those strengths and talents that you haven't used in a while, are there any of those that you would like to do something with?
I love doing art. And I don't necessarily see an avenue yet. There's nothing clear other than I enjoy working with people, and I have a certification in being a life coach, which certainly has a lot of possibilities for money to come into my life. It's just getting it going, getting the juices moving, and allowing the ease of success.
All right. What did you go to school for?
To graphic arts and web design originally, and then I got certified as a life coach.
Oh, all right. Wow, so you have a different avenues already set up.
Yeah, and the graphic arts and web design is art.
So your issue is not what you're going to do as your gift.
Right.
You actually love the art and you enjoy your coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Those are both fun for you.
Yeah.
What you're concerned about here is that you have found yourself very passive and unmotivated.
Right.
And so you haven't gotten the initiative going. All right. Now, look at your motivation. This is key for you. This is critical for you. On one hand, if your husband is producing enough money, bringing in enough money, you don't have to work. You're under no slave driver pressure to. Right?
Right.
Okay. In a sense, you can say, okay, I got the dream, you know, back when I was in my 20s and so on, I was looking, well, I'll get married, we'll have a nice house, we'll be living our lives and da-da-da-da-da and so on. And some of that got satisfied. You got some of that.
Yeah, that dream came true.
Yeah. And so all the slave driver for that dream, said, okay, mission accomplished. you know, what else do you want us to do? And he said, well, I don't know, but I should be doing something. He felt guilty. I should be doing something. So you caretaked. All right. That's giving, too. Mm. You caretaked for 2 years. That's a lot of work.
7 years.
That's a lot of giving. That takes a tremendous amount of patience, being present, caring. All right. And so, in a way, you send that energy out. Now, you're receiving support, financial support, through your husband, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the whole money question, there's a part of you that isn't really interested in the whole money thing, really. You're not really interested in the money.
Yeah, right.
Right? And so thinking about, okay, I need to do something for money, doesn't really necessarily need to apply to you here. However, what we would suggest is that you do want to give something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You're receiving and receiving and receiving, and you're feeling guiltier and guiltier about it. So in order to, your husband's money, you're receiving, and you're feeling kind of guilty about it. You should do something in exchange for it. Well, you do your wifely duties, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And that's your kind of like an exchange for that. And yet you still have this guilt, and the guilt is that you're not doing enough. And what you've done is that you've resisted your slave driver, which the slave driver says, come on now, you've got to do something, got to do something, got to do something, got to do something. And so you started resisting. I don't want to feel guilty about, because, at first, it was really nice not to have to work.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, you know, you were done with the caretaking, you had this breather. It was wonderful, right? And so you kind of got used to it that way. And just got used to live. And you love your life. It's not like your life is boring or anything. But you've been in resistance to the slave driver. So much resistance so that your motivation is sludged down and kind of locked in. So your motivation is kind of locked down because you're in a passive resistant battle with the slave driver. Who says you should be doing something. Now, the slave driver doesn't say, you should be doing something for money. But the slave driver thinks you should be doing something. And you're like resisting. No, I want to do what I want to do. I want to do what I want to do. I want to do what I want to do. So you're resisting the forced giving. And by doing that, you lose energy to the slave driver. And then you don't have any motivation for what you want to do. Even though you love what you do. You understand?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
How you've kind of drained yourself out. And throwing your power to the slave driver, not even knowing it.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, that meant...
Right?
That too.
It's called passive resistance. And so that's why when you get the slave driver out of your system, if you've been in passive resistance, you're going to find yourself really unmotivated. Because you've been spending so much time in passive resistance, you're automatically in motivational lockdown. And so for you to... get yourself motivated. How are you going to do that without the slave driver? Because you got to unfreeze it. It's all kind of frozen. You got to thaw it out. Thaw your motivation out. Here's what we would suggest. Is what we mentioned earlier is to take a day off where you do no duties. You maybe pre-cook the food or whatever it is. So all you have to do is put it on the table or you don't have any chores to do, no appointments that you have to do, nothing. It's your day. And during that day, you just put out your art stuff like you're like a kid. Not with any goal to make anything pretty or really good looking or design something really fancy schmancy, right? Just put the stuff out there and just sit with it and feel the resonance of it. Just feel the frequencies. Just feel the whole idea. A resonance is a group of frequencies that together form a unity, right? So you have, in art, you have different individual frequencies. You've got the different media you can use. You've got the different tools. You've got, are you going to do something representational? Are you going to do something abstract? Are you just going to kind of go with the flow and do color? Are you going to do something in black and white? Or what are you going to do? And so there's all these... individual possibilities, lots of different frequencies, but overall, art has to do with this kind of creatively evoking something. Just bringing something out. It's like magic. Art is like magic. Here's a blank piece of paper, and the artist just, by magic, does this and this and this and this to it, and all of a sudden, something comes out. You see? So for you to just to sit with it, and to sit with it and feel it, and ask your creative juices to express themselves, ask them to warm up, to thaw out, to come into being. Now, this is something any of you who do creative activities who go through periods of lack of motivation may want to try. Just to give yourself that time, really total space. Now, if the slave driver comes in, they're going to give you mental messages such as, you know, you really ought to do something. You're sitting here with the stuff. Do something. It will kind of try to urge you to do something. And so we would suggest, you just sit with that and let it pass. Or the slave driver will try to, as once you get started, if you start doing something, the slave driver says, well, it should look good. You know, you'll get tossed that one, right? You know, the slave driver was going to be on every type of nuance, wants you to produce, to achieve something, you see? So this is not about achievement. This is just about being, about maybe being in the moment, maybe following whatever's in the moment, and see what comes out. And also, if nothing comes up, if you realize that you just are not motivated to do art at all, if that should happen, and you're just like, I'm sitting here and I love the idea of doing art, but the activity of it, for some reason or another, I don't really feel like I want to do. I really don't want to get into it. I don't want to get started on something. And I just don't want to get started on something because I know I'm going to put it down and I'm not going to get back to it for another month. And I just don't want to do that. It's just going to be messy. It's going to be out. And I don't want to do that. So what you go through instead is saying, you know, I realize I just don't want to even do anything with art. What if you get there? Then love yourself and say, oh, it's good to know. It's good to know that I don't really feel like doing art now. It's not really where I'm at right now, and it's okay. I give myself total permission to do nothing. I don't have to do art. I'm here just checking it out. It's okay. I am an artist because that is my nature. But I don't have to do art. I don't have to do it. I can think it. I can imagine with it. I can play with it and enjoy myself that way. I don't have to do anything with it. To make sure that you stay in your power, in your freedom, in your love, and feeling safe, giving yourself the safety. You understand?
Yes.
All right? Thank you. Because if you have some idea that you should be doing it, right, you may have, your art phase may be over. You know, people go through phases. Sometimes they like want to do art. And you haven't been doing art, right?
Right.
So there must be a reason why you haven't been doing art, besides maybe that you've been fighting with the slave driver and going kind of shut down on it. But if you're not shut down on it, maybe it's just that this is not your time for art.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Then sit and think about your coaching. How motivated are you really? You know, it's fun when it's set up and you're there and you get to do something. Is it fun to set it up? Is it fun to make the appointments? Is it fun to reach out and touch people and bring them in and all that part of the process? Is that kind of interesting to you? Is meeting people and connecting with them as actually part of the coaching? It's really the first part of if you're going to do a life coaching, the first part is connecting with a person. Do you enjoy that? Because it's connecting with the person where you bring them in and you tell them what you do and then they come and have an appointment. Maybe you enjoy that. Maybe it'd be work best for you to have people to only have like a couple of people who come in every week at the same hour. Every week.
Mm-hmm.
You see, maybe that's what you like. Play with it. Look at your temperament. Right? Just play with it. Sense it. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. Because maybe you want to do it, but you just want to dabble a little bit. Let yourself dabble. But there's going to be a time where you need to get your passion back. Because you lost your passion somewhere back there. You know what we're talking about? That's that drive that comes from inside you, that you really want to do it. You got to do it. It's almost you have to. You know what we're talking about?
Yeah, I do.
You miss it, don't you?
Uh-huh.
Right. Because that slave driver will shut that passion down like that. Bang. Put a lid on it. You know? So give yourself the opportunity to let some passion come up, just a little passion here and there. But you're going to find that you're going to get restless in a very positive way. Is this going to be a point where you really want to do something and that energy is starting to come up and you want to channel it through something? And when that happens, you'll be very happy to do something here and there, make a little money on the side. You're not in competition with your husband. You don't need to be. You got a really good situation going. But you need, in a sense, to have your own experience of the exchange with someone other than just your husband. Right now, your exchange is with him. You give to him. He provides you with money. Right now, there's an exchange particularly going there, mm-hmm. as far as the money thing is concerned.
Right.
And you want to have maybe a couple more channels in which money can come in, or something of value to you can come in. If you don't want money, what is of value to you? What would you like to have come in?
Well, body work comes to mind right off the...
Well, there you go. All right.
Exchanges would be nice.
Very good. So you put out your energy of your gifts and so on, and then when money comes in, you put it into body work.
Uh-huh.
You find a really good body worker.
Right.
Right? And that's a way you give back to yourself. And there's a replenishment of you, and there's a cycle continues. All right?
Yes.
But really, all of you, please, if you don't feel motivated, if you don't have your passion, be gentle with yourselves. Don't get the slave driver out. Slave driver never helps you with your passion. Never, ever, ever. And you think, okay, if I can just get going, it'll work. No. If you get going, slave driver will push you more and more and more. Now, there is a certain good feeling that the slave driver gives you initially. And that's where you got hooked on the slave driver. Do you know that feeling where you're really getting a lot done and, boy, everything's going and you just, man, am I efficient today. Whoa, now look at how I just get this and this and this done. Wow, I'm in a flow. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, boy, and I'm really pumped today. I'm getting it all done. I'm getting it all done. There's a certain high to that. And every one of you has experienced that at some point. And you think that that's where it's at. You think that's where it's at. But you can get that with just a good cup of coffee. All right? But that's really the slave driver. And that's the high the slave driver hooks you with. Saying, look, if you employ me, I'll get you really humming and we'll get everything done. And then you find out your relationship with the slave driver is a little bit more codependent than that. And it's not as fun after all. And you have a few days like that, but then you start burning out, and then the guilt and the fear sets in. So be easy on yourselves. When you get rid of the slave driver, you will have periods of absolutely no motivation, no passion, no desire to do anything. Rest when you can. Now, some of you can't. You have to go work and do da-da-da. But to what extent that you can, rest as much as you can. Be easy on yourself. And do something like this. Just sit with things that you normally have liked to do in the past. Your talents, your gifts, and feel them out. Feel out what is it now? What do I want to do with them? All right? Thank you, dear one.
Thank you, Galaxis.
All right. Who else?
Hi, Galaxis.
Hello.
I spoke with you a few years ago on the subject of my gifts and what to focus on. And you told me that I had some healing ability, but that mainly I was a visionary. And I can see that I have anticipated a lot of trends and a lot of just sort of visions I've had for the world or for, you know, cultural or social visions.
Mm-hmm.
Actually are manifesting. So, but the thing is, I have no idea how to translate that into any kind of vocation or money making. You know, if that's my primary gift, I'd like to be able to use it in some way to,
All right.
Financial return. Right now,
mm-hmm.
I'm looking for a job.
Right.
And I'm looking for a retail job for a couple of reasons. One is that I've had quite a lot of experience in recent years at that. And also, it seems like something that fits with my energy level right now.
Mm-hmm. Because you can do a part-time or something?
Part-time.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't pay very well, you know, and I'd like to be able to bring in a lot more money than a retail job would pay. Do you see any way that I can go beyond that retail pay scale? And
yes, but you see, you have to start somewhere, as we said earlier.
Oh yeah, sure.
And so yeah, start there, get whatever job you can as a loving thing for you, just to get the energy out there. Because even in a retail sales position, you are giving.
Right.
Right. You were.
And I enjoy it.
Yeah. Exactly. You talk to people and you give them something that they want and you help them and they receive that energy back in the form of money. Your healing yourself is where you learn a lot of your healing gifts. But you have to be motivated to do it. You have to be motivated to be a healer if you're going to be one. It sounds good. It sounds wonderful. You got some talent for it. You got some natural talent. But do you really want to do that?
I'm not sure I want to do it vocationally. I've always thought of it as, I mean, I really want to do it, you know, I'd like to be able to heal my pets, for example, my family members, my friends.
Yes.
I did try to do it professionally at some point, and it didn't feel right to me. I wasn't comfortable with setting up appointments and having, you know.
All right. Are you the same person now that you were then?
No.
No. You've come a long way since then.
Well, yeah.
Right. So don't take that experience and project it into your future.
Oh, okay.
Okay. It's one of the things we've been cautioning you all about. You know? It's why we kind of cleaned you up and cleaned you out yesterday. So you wouldn't put in your future all the concerns and all the limitations that you've experienced with money in your past. So healing for you at this point, you have to kind of clear the slate and make it something totally new and see if it's really for you. Now, if you want to heal your family members, your pets, friends, etc., and so on, are you doing any of that now?
No.
Okay. Are you not motivated to do it?
Well, I'll tell you, I feel like I need more training. Like, I feel
You feel insecure what you're doing is not enough, yes?
Well, I mean, I'm not.
You don't know, or you don't know how to do the form of it.
I've taken classes. I have some ideas. There are classes I'd really love to take. I'd love to learn quantum healing, for example. I don't know. I can't seem to break through into it. And I feel inhibited about, for example, doing some healing techniques on my pets, let's say, because I'm afraid I'm going to fail, and then I'll go, oh, I'm not a healer after all, you know.
Ah, it's self-fulfilling prophecy, huh?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what you have here is that you just don't trust yourself at all.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have any belief in yourself. You don't have any faith in yourself that you could actually be more than what you used to be.
Okay.
All right? You don't have any faith that the future is where it's at. You see, when we look at you, we can see that for you, your glorious, most glorious days of your life, as you perceive them, are in your past. And we can see that that is a problem for you.
Uh-huh.
You don't look in your past for anything anymore. Erase that. It's
right.
over.
Okay.
Okay? There's nothing there for you. Because the person you are becoming, the person you're moving towards in the future, has no relationship to that person back there. Not the same person. You're a different person today than you were 2 days ago.
Right. Yeah, I can feel that.
Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh. Okay. And the reason for that is because we dropped off of you a lot of big pile of crap of your past. So when you look at your future, don't go back to your past to find out who you are. Oh, I'm this person that I feel inadequate. I don't feel like doing things correctly. I do things wrong and I fail. Oh, and that's just such an unpleasant and painful feeling. I'd just rather not start it in the first place. That's shame.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
The whole idea about loving yourself is saying, I'm going to love myself and I'm going to love my pets and I'm just going to practice. Your intention, dear one, if you go to your pets and just put your hands on them with an intention for them to heal and feel better, it's enough. That's what healing is. All right? You
right.
cannot fail. You cannot fail. If you want some miracle to happen, boom, like that. Oh, that shows I'm a talented healer. Okay, this gives me enough encouragement to think maybe I can succeed at something. Then you're giving all your power away to external reality. And you'll be stuck there forever in that position, powerless. So take your power and say, look, I am a powerful reality creator and I have a future. I may not know exactly what the forms of it and the material manifestations of it will be, what directions I'll take, but I know right now that I'm going to a better place. I'm changing in a good way. I'm becoming a new person. And the new person that I want to be, one of the things that I want her to be is a healer. Just because I think it'd be fun.
Yeah.
Okay? And so, if that healer self is in my future, then I owe it to myself right now to have the intention of healing. Healing myself and healing my pets. The pets are never going to judge you. You cannot fail. Honestly, you can't fail.
Okay, okay.
As long as you hold, if you have an intention to hurt the animal, of course,
well,
you won't heal it. But you don't have that intention, and you never will. You love your pets. So go to your pets, and you know what you want. You would want to heal. You put your hands on them. You get the book, Quantum Touch, and the whole technique is there.
I have the book.
So read the book, read the technique, have the pet. Okay, you put your hand like this and you do this. Okay, and then here's what you intend. Okay, and you practice. Your pets are there loving you to practice on them. Does anybody have a pet that doesn't want you, that want your love? Doesn't want your intention for healing and feeling good? No, they love that. You'll get real positive feedback on that one. Okay? So practice it. Give yourself a little faith.
Okay.
Give yourself a little faith. Nobody's going to come to your life, hold you by hand like a little child, and take you step by step. Now, good girl, good girl. Now, take the next step. Nobody's going to do that. You're an adult. But your child self is still there.
Ah, okay.
We let her go yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay, let your child self go again. Just in your mind, go see her. Oh, she's not in her beautiful place. She's not in her beautiful place with her money machine. Oh, okay. Here, sweetie, going back to your beautiful place. I'm sorry I called you in. Yeah, you see, you call them back. When you go into child state, the child comes back. Oh, you need me? Because what you end up doing is you take your child and you push your child into your reality and say, you deal with it because you're the one that always dealt with these situations. You haven't been very nice in that regard to your child self. So make sure your child self's back in her perfect, ideal world with her little money machine. Okay?
Okay.
Close the door. Don't leave the door open.
Okay.
Don't keep looking in there like, oh, I want to be in there. Leave her there. She belongs there. You're the adult. Be here. Right? And the adult here says, okay, I am a powerful reality creator. And as a powerful reality creator, I can activate my healing powers, my healing gift. Did you write down any other talents or gifts?
Yeah, I'm creative. Let me see what else I wrote down.
What's that?
I'm just looking at my list. I have a lot of resonance with animals and plants. I like to garden and hang out with my critters, and that's a real strong part of who I am. I don't know if you call that a talent or a gift, but it's definitely a preference.
Well, do plants thrive?
Yeah.
That is a gift. They like it. You have a nice healing energy for them, too. Okay. So you have a little horticulture in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I like to do the Martha Stewart thing a lot with the food and the crafts and the, sewing and the knitting. And that's a real strong part of who I am, too.
All right.
Yeah.
But well, we have there's all sorts of possibilities in there too. We know a friend who, the channel, who had a sister who got into knitting, and in knit shops, if you're aware, they have these little scarf kits of really interesting, creative, beautiful scarves with all sorts of unusual yarns and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so her sister began to knit these. And then she ended up, giving them away and enjoying it and so on. And then she started, people wanted them. People said, wow, these are so fun. These are so nice. And by golly, she started selling them. And she had a wonderful time. She gets to pick out beautiful things. She gets to talk to a person and get their vibe and make a beautiful scarf for them and get paid for it. Look at all the just go to a knit shop,
I have tons of yarn. I recently was gifted with as much yarn as I could probably ever use in my lifetime.
There you go. Well, just knit some things and play with it.
Yeah.
Don't fear failure. This is probably the thing that stops you over and over again.
Uh-huh.
Because you're afraid somebody's going to judge it. That you're going to make it look stupid. Who is it that you're afraid is really going to judge it? Did you have a critical mother or father or sibling or who?
No, I think I was just kind of out of step with the other kids, and they didn't.
Did they make fun of you?
Or
did they just ignore you?
They just kind of didn't.
You were the wallflower hiding in the corner.
Yeah,
huh?
Where I was at didn't resonate with a lot of,
Well, that doesn't really explain the emotional intensity of your fear of failure, but
okay.
Right.
I don't know then.
Because most children feel some of that, right? But somewhere along the line, you got gifted with a big, heavy load of failure, crap, and shame. That somehow or another, whatever you did wasn't good enough, and it would never be good enough. That's the slave driver, too. The slave driver, you got to do better. It's got to look good. People have got to like it. Otherwise, they'll judge you. Otherwise, you'll feel bad about yourself. You see what we're saying?
I do.
You've got to get rid of that fear of failure. You have to. And when you get rid of it, when you step into your power, your freedom, your love, and your safety trust, failure is nowhere around. That vibration is a total other radio station. And you won't attract that energy to you every time you even envision doing something. Okay? Because you're picking it up in the atmosphere and it's reinforcing you. You just pick up failure like that. Or fear of failure, rather.
Yeah. So.
And you go into paralysis and you go into resistance and you run away and you hide. But you can't do that anymore, dear one.
Right.
And none of you can do that because you're in a phase of your life where you must become more visible. You must project more energy out of you. You must give more. If you've been giving so much, you've been depleted, it's because you've been enforced giving. It's time for you to give of yourself, to give freely, and allow yourself to be replenished. If you don't receive, of course, you're just exhausted. And you're afraid, dear one, to receive. You're afraid that somebody's going to look at what you do and judge it. And so what you're afraid you're going to receive is a judgment or criticism or rejection.
Okay.
And this is not who you are now. This okay, dates good. Back to before the age of 13.
Yeah.
And you don't need to carry that with you anymore.
So
get into your resonance. Claim who you are. Forget the past.
Okay. Forget the past.
Forget the past. Do not project the past on the future. Uh-huh. Do not use it as a way to scare yourself.
Okay. Okay. I just keep the eyes on the prize. Keep looking at
keep the eyes on the prize. That's goal-oriented. Guess who comes in? As soon as you do that, ding, ding, ding. Ring. Hello? You called? So no, don't keep your eye on any goal.
Okay.
Be in the process of discovery. All of you,
okay.
Stay in the process. Be here now. If your eyes are on the prize, you're in the future. You're not here.
Okay. So it's not a future orientation. It's a be here now.
It's a be here now.
Yeah,
however,
okay.
Your future is calling you. The one that you see yourself becoming is calling you, and it's going to pull you in the direction of the future you're going to.
Okay.
So as long as you're here now, in process, with the intention of becoming more than you have been, to finding out more about yourself, to create more, to love, touch, and heal more, you'll be fine.
Good.
But all that yada, yada, blah, 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 shame crap of the past needs to go. It has no bearing on anything, except that it's like putting chains around your ankles.
Yeah. Okay. So,
okay.
Good. Great. So then this weekend is, I'm sure, very significant in that respect for me. I feel different already, so.
All right. Good. That's excellent.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, dear one. Anyone else?
Oh. Hello, Glaxus. This is Jay.
Hello.
So I noticed on my to list that my gifts and talents is like really abstract. And I mean, in a sense, I know that a gift and a talent is abstract, but it's not like I could say I was a doctor and I could, you know.
Okay, well, give
people.
Us an example
of
one of those abstract gifts.
Well, I like to research. I like
okay.
to research new products and new ideas.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But then I get stuck on how that could transfer over to a model where I receive payment for that.
Well, aren't there people who want to know about these things? Look, when you research products and ideas, there are people who provide that information for you.
But they're usually selling the product.
Okay. They're usually selling the product, but you get an education, don't you?
Yes.
Okay. So maybe you want to take that product or something similar and sell that.
Well, I do, yeah.
And you do some of that, don't you?
Sure.
All right. Maybe there are people who want a little bit of coaching and will be willing to pay for it.
Okay.
Okay. You have ability to gather all sorts of information and network it.
Yes.
you have an ability to connect with people and share this information with them.
Yes.
Okay. Your idea in the past has been sharing this information with them for free.
Well, that's, yes, that's...
Because you liked the sharing part, too. You like the research, and you like to share.
Yes.
All right? It's a sharing part where you get to make some money. So do all the research, and then take that information and say, okay, there's something that I can recommend. I can do this and this and this. Let me share this.
Okay.
All right? And you can find maybe a product to share, or you can take the information itself to share. Or you can use that information that you share with, like a blog or something like that, to draw people to you for products that you do sell.
Ah, a blog. Okay. Yeah, that's a vehicle.
Yeah, you can find vehicles in which you can use your talents to draw and attract people who are interested in knowing more, and voila, you have a product for them.
Right.
Now, most people, when they initially get into sales, especially if they're spiritual, right, they have a little discomfort with this whole thing. Okay, I've tracked the person here. Now I have a product I'm going to present to them. I'm selling to them. Ooh, that didn't feel good. Ooh, I'm selling. I'm trying to make them give me money. There are a lot of people who have difficulty with selling because they don't want to try and convince people to give them money.
Right.
And there are people who can't even let their family members give them money. You don't accept money from your family, or you don't accept money from friends, or, and all these rules. You don't accept money from, you know, well, who are you going to accept your money from then? Enemies? Right? Consider, you want to connect. Everyone is your friend. And because they're your friend, you want to share with them something that is valuable to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. They have the power to say no. You're not pushing them. You're not manipulating them. But so many people are afraid they're manipulating. So many people who want to set up a practice of something and are totally afraid to ask for money. Totally uncomfortable in saying, well, that'll be $125, please.
Huh.
You know, it's like, it's going to hurt them. They're going to, I don't want to, but I have to ask that much, you know, all these things. Now, we're not saying that's your problem, but it brings that issue up that we wanted to share with everyone. So we thank you for that.
Oh, yes, yes. It's part of my research.
Part of your research.
It's only $10, too.
All right, good.
<I'm> practicing.
But you've got to be able to ask for money.
Yes.
Yeah. You've got to be able to ask for it. And to know that what you are giving for that money is valuable. And why is it valuable? Drumbeat, please. It's because you are resonant with value.
Ooh.
Hello.
Yeah.
You count. You matter. You have something to offer. You're valuable. You're holding a resonance of light.
Yes.
Okay? You're sharing a frequency, a higher frequency, a healing frequency with people. That's valuable. And if there's a product involved, you know, that money exchange, great. For those of you who do counseling or coaching, have clients, you often see that your exchange is that you give them a certain hour of this and then they pay you a certain amount, and you have a certain set value per hour. What if your value per hour were twice as much? Would you enjoy the session more?
Yes.
Then you're off beat. You're off track. You got to enjoy the session so much that automatically your price will raise. It'll just be natural to do because you'll be in demand. Because your radiance, your presence, your charisma, your vibration is something that attracts magnetically, and the person wants it. So whatever you do with them for an hour, whew, they come out feeling different. They come out feeling touched, loved, healed. People pay for that. You pay for that. You'll go someplace for love, touch, and healing. Absolutely. It's valuable to you. You don't just pay for strictly information that's useful and practical. No. You go for the feeling too. So recognize, just being with you, if you are in your power, in your love, in your safety, trust, and in your freedom, just sitting with you for an hour is worth something. Can you wrap your head around that? And you see, every person who does private sessions, gives private sessions, has done research, has found what is of value, and wants to share it. Right? Mm-hmm. Mm. All right, so you have a lot to give.
Mm. Thank you.
Now, there is this thing about humility and ego that traps a lot of you too. You don't want to toot your own horn too much. You feel like you don't want to come across egotistical, because there have been people who've been who've bragged about themselves and big pontificated and acted like the total know-it-all and have really turned you off. And you resist those people. I feel manipulated. Of course, because they're manipulating you. You know, if you don't manipulate, they don't feel manipulated. Hello? If you're in your love, your power, your freedom, safety, trust, do you need to manipulate anybody for anything? No. You just radiate. You have presence. Whatever you say counts. You're present. You're here and now. And you're here and now with your client. You're here and now in intention to them. Your attention with all this power and radiance is focused on them. Don't you know how good that feels to them? It feels good to you, but doesn't it feel good to them? Haven't you had a session where you wanted the attention fully on you by some person who's researched something, who has something to offer, and who is very, you know, radiant? Don't you want sessions with that person? Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're so close to it right now. You could just go, poop, and voila, you'd be there. And it'd just be a fun way to bring in some extra money. Any other channels you've got?
Well, thank you for asking. The list of things that I could do, I have like 19.
Mm-hmm. And what are you any more passionate over anything than another?
Yes. Well, okay. Yes.
And okay, what are you most passionate over in that 19 item list?
Starting a new software company for how people manage information on a desktop. How they manage information on a computer screen or smartphone or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's huge. And that's where I get tripped. I trip myself up because I go, oh, I only want this because it's so huge.
Well, who is it huge to?
Me.
Yeah, not huge to them. So why wouldn't somebody want it? It's not going to be huge to them.
No, I mean, if once it's accomplished, it would be huge.
Well,
the potential.
I mean, aren't you going to make it a bit user-friendly, please?
Of course, yeah.
All right.
Course, yeah. No, it would be highly useful to people who it's...
I mean, that's the idea of it, anyway, is right. Yeah. So people are going to see the advantages of it, and they're not going to see it as being huge, because you're going to see, well, what it's going to do is manage huge amounts of data and huge amounts of stuff. It's going to make it more manageable.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Okay. So realize that the perception you want to give out there is going to be rather different. What you are really responding to here is not that you're concerned that they're going to think it's too huge. You think already right now it's too huge a project for you to
Thank you.
You know, it's like like biting off more than you can chew. You're not trusting that you could actually have the follow through to do it.
Yes.
It's too complicated. It's too huge, unwieldy, too blah, 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 blah. Like, and you're going on and on and on, a list of that.
Climbing Mount Everest with sandals on or something.
Exactly. So you've given yourself... See, now this is a young adult example, all right?
Okay.
A young adult dream is always big, okay? If you have a young adult type dream, it's going to be big. This is a big dream, okay? Yeah. And you can get more passionate about your big dreams than anything.
Yeah.
But this passion is not in the moment. It's not grounded here and now in the doing. It's not in the process. It's in the goal. You understand? It's in the whole image. It's in the ideal. It's in the concept.
Right.
Okay.
Perceived glory of the
result. The perceived glory of this beautiful concept. And you got the concept, and it's a beautiful concept.
Right.
And you just think about the concept, and you go, ah. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. You've enlisted your young adult, and your young adult has come in and served you. Has given you all the passion and the big dream, okay? But now you got to go into the adult. Of this big dream, bring it down into the moment by moment. What part of it would you enjoy doing in the creation of it?
Hiring the software programmers to make it.
Okay. You're going to be the person who sets up the structure of it,
correct.
Right? Right. And then you have somebody else to do it.
Correct.
All right. Okay, and you're going to have a really good time sitting with them and working out all the different things.
Yes.
Okay, that's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, yes, yes. Designing it and getting it done.
All right.
And then I go, but I have to have the money to pay them.
Right. Like, what can you do now? You can go and design it. Okay? Go ahead and do design. Start looking at the flow chart of it. Start putting it together. Start putting it in the different sections and the different pieces and how they're going to work together. Start putting together a map.
Oh.
Because that's fun.
Yep.
Okay? That's the conceptual part. You're real good at it. Get all that together. Then find some software person who wants to partner with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. Now, again, if the young adult's in here, you get a software partner. Oh, they're really excited. They're really excited. They're busy, and so they're going to be able to do this on the weekends.
Hmm.
Not a good sign, right?
No.
They've got to be able to put it into their schedule and prioritize it somewhere, or it won't ever get done.
Right.
There are too many people that said, oh, yeah, I'd be glad to do it for free, and I'd love to be your partner, but... I'd only have a few hours to put on it here and there. And then they don't put on it an hour in 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to, like, really trust yourself in the evaluation and staying present with your choice of a person like this. Interview a bunch of them. Okay?
Yes. And actually, this is probably my young adult. Where I'm holding it is I'm going to make a lot of money to hire the people that will do it because they're being paid.
Yeah, but you see there, you've got a belief limitation there.
See,
you've set yourself a hurdle that you've got to have money to make money.
So start where I am and do it.
Start where you are and find somebody who has integrity. There are people like that. You see, what you've got is an either or. You're thinking, oh, if they're going to do it for free and be my partner, they'll never get it done. But there are some who would do it. You just have to find them. You understand?
Okay, yep.
And if you think about it, just think about it right now. You find somebody who's really able to do it, who's excited about it, who gets enthusiastic about it, and the two of you have a really good time and you put it together. Okay? How does that make you feel?
Satisfied. Happy.
Okay? Doesn't it make you feel... happier
well,
than that?
It's a pretty big
isn't
project.
Isn't it exciting? Come on, you said this was had your passion in it.
Well, it's a huge project. I mean, that's...
Okay, you're still going back to that, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, get your child out of there. The child is like, overwhelm, overwhelm. And then the adolescent is saying, oh, this is going to impinge on my free time. Oh, boo-hoo. You know, I want somebody else to do all the work because I want to... you know, I want to hang out, and I don't want to do all this. So let the whiny adolescent go.
Okay. But here's my issue. Here's where I'm stumped.
Okay.
It's like if I was making a movie, it would be like getting excited about getting a Polaroid and taking a few pictures of a scene for the movie. It's like it's not going to do much to make the movie be a real movie. I mean, metaphysically,
yeah, it's like you can do the trailer, right?
Say again?
You're just doing the trailer.
Even doing the trailer. Mm-hmm. I mean, getting one software person to do a little bit of coding is so insignificant that it's not exciting. I want to do.
You want to jump to the big thing.
Yeah. That's
okay.
That's
young
it.
Adult.
That's where I'm stuck.
It's a trap.
Yeah.
It's a total trap. You got to be in the present and love what you do, every little piece.
I can do that.
Okay. So either you reframe it so that you can love every little piece, or find something else on your list that isn't a long-term project. You've got other things on your list that could make money.
Yes, yes.
Now take your passion level and go down a notch and find what's the next one down.
Okay.
You know? And find one that is a reasonable amount of time where your child self doesn't freak out and your adolescent doesn't whine and your young adult doesn't get lost in the ideal.
Yes.
And you can stay adult, here, present, grounded, and in the process. You have had this difficulty much of your life, though.
Yep.
You don't like the process that much. You tend to jump over to the future a lot.
Yes.
You're kind of like, oh, wow, look at that. And meanwhile, you know, here you are, have to walk there. You don't really want to have to walk there. Hey, why can't I just fly there?
Right.
You've been spending too much time on the other planes, dear one.
Oh, okay.
The other planes with intention, boom, you're there.
Hmm.
You see, and you don't like this time-space limitation thing, okay? Most of you don't like that one. You want to already be there now. What? Oh, we have to go there? Well, see, the slave driver reinforces that the goal is more important than the journey. You came here to play in time and space, and by golly, you're going to have to. Sorry. And when you get really happy and good at it and you just enjoy being in the present moment and playing with time space, then you're going to learn the secret of teleportation. But not until then. Darn. You want to skip all the hard part. You want to skip all the loving the present. But you see, dear one, how you let your other selves, these younger selves, get in your way.
I do.
All right. You want to stay the person that you are here now and becoming. That resonance is always in the moment, in the present. And even if it just seems to be a little step, just love yourself with it. You've been told that the little steps are not valuable. Mm. You've been told that you got to hurry up and get to the big stuff. That where you are right now is not the good moment, that the power moment, that the important moment is in your future somewhere. Not now. Mm. You've been told that. You've been implied that. That doing a little something every day. Oh, well, that's sad. That's like a sick old person, or that's like a child, and you have all sorts of judgments on it. But dear ones, that's where the bliss of life exists. And that's where the giving and the receiving moves into momentum. It becomes a momentum. A momentum. And you activate the momentum by being in the present and doing whatever is here and now, moving with intention towards a greater self. Towards perhaps a goal at some point, but the goal is more of an ideal. It's more of a directional. It's not really it's not really that you have to be there or you haven't accomplished anything. The slave driver is the one who says that. Every piece of a goal, every little particle that goes in is important because your experience of it and your integration of it into who you are, into your essence, is significant. You don't know how important a moment can be. You think that the important moments are back when over there when you get the goal achieved. Then that's an important moment. Achievement, important moment. And the key, says the slave driver, is to have as many of those important moments in your life as possible. So achieve, 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 achieve. Who wants to live like that? That's not bliss, okay? All right, dear one. Can you see now what you need to do?
Yes.
To really get clear about your path.
Enjoy the moment.
Yes.
Find steps.
That's really what you're here to do anyway.
Yep. Yep. So
that's your spiritual journey.
It's the only thing that's really mine.
That's the only thing that you can do. That's where your power is.
Yes.
All right. That's where you can love yourself. That's where your power is. That's where you can be free. That's you, if you're in the moment right now, you're safe. If you think about the future, if you're in the future and your mind's in the future, you've lost your grounding in the now. You're not going to feel as safe. How can you trust yourself if you're not here and now?
Ooh.
You can't. Hmm. You can't trust yourself if you're out there with the goal. You're not here. You know, you can't respond to your reality. You can't work with what you got. You're not in your power. So it's not the fun place to be out there, except when you get the young adult in to do the dreaming and the big, big dreams. Oh, man, is that fun. But you're not here. You're there. You understand?
I do.
The adult will take there and appreciate it and love it and then find ways to bring it into here and now.
Hmm.
And that's what you do. That's the journey. And that's the momentum. And any channel of money that you create, when you do that, you're in the present, here and now, unfolding it moment by moment, and being really fully present and staying in your resonance. You've got momentum. All right. Thank you, dear one.
Thank you, Galaxis.
We'll talk about the experiment, the money experiment. You got a dollar, and that dollar became a certain amount of money for you. We already heard from two people who said that that was going to represent, that represents $1 million. Did you notice how you felt carrying it around? Did you have any idea what carrying around $1 million or whatever your amount was, felt? What did it feel to you? What did it feel like being a wealthy person? Doesn't it feel good? Can you imagine it feeling totally natural for you? Right? That when you wake up in the morning, you're a wealthy person? No doubt about it. You don't have to worry about anything. You're going to work with the exchange of energy. You're just going to enjoy the dance. Right? That your day's not going to be filled with stress, but it's going to be filled with exploration, love, touching, healing, creating, learning. Okay? It's a being state, wealth. It's a state of feeling that you're in connection with the resources of your reality. And that you can trust that these resources can be available to you too. Let's see. Did anyone make that amount of money higher than $1 million?
Yes.
All right. Okay. Anybody go up to $1 billion?
Yes.
Anybody go beyond $1 billion? Oh, so we have 1 billionaire here?
Hey.
2 billionaires. Wow. All right. My gosh, there's a lot of plans in the works there. All right. Okay. All right, what we want you to do over the lunch break is we want you to take out your blank check there. We want you to think about how valuable it is. Think about the dream, how it feels. And over the lunch break, we want you to gift this to somebody else here. Tell them how much it is. Do not expect it. to return. It's a gift. You're going to give it away. You're going to give your money away. And just say, okay, it's gone. I'm giving it to this person. Just choose somebody. Choose somebody here. And gift them. And tell them how much it is that you're gifting them with. Let it go. Give it away. Now, somebody may gift you with theirs, or maybe not. Somebody may get more than one. Somebody may not get any gifts. And when you, if you are gifted by someone, accept this gift from them and the amount of money that it is and say, okay, that's what this represents. And you accept it, you say thank you, and you put it back in your special place. Yes, we want to do a little brain work with you. So it's just going to be a few minutes of silence. Just let yourself open to receive. what we did there was we went and assuaged your fear of loss. If you sense within yourself where you normally go in your psyche to find your fear of losing stuff, losing money, you'll notice that there's something there instead of that. There's an energy that's different there. That was pretty profound for all of you. And another thing that we did was to connect you with money energy in your brain. And not just the frequency of money, we also needed to connect your third eye, your pituitary and pineal, with the ability to connect with mainstream consciousness. You need to connect out there. You need to be part of the mainstream. All right. Farewell for now.